Good morning. Stayed up and watched the New Year's come in. I mean, have you prayed the New Year in? All right. Sounds good. Somebody said, what are you going to do on New Year's? Are you going to stay up and watch the ball drop? Or you? I said, I'm going to watch the ball drop through the back of my eyelids. Praise God. I slept for a while and then I woke. Another year is come and gone. Some of you senior saints, it makes you feel good, don't it? Yeah, it does. Thank you, Jesus, for another year. Thank him for his goodness and his mercy and his grace and his love towards us. How many of you have that same zeal today that you had when you first met Jesus? How many of you have that commitment to him? That you committed to serve him and you got that same commitment today? How many have you? Thank you, wife. My wife, I'm going to tell you, I love that girl. She's something. We went shopping yesterday. We don't shop, she shops for Christmas, I don't. We don't give each other gifts for Christmas because we do that all the week. A week before Christmas, I bought a $500 worth of clothes. I got it all for $200. I thought, man, I got a good deal. So we shop a little bit after Christmas and we look around. Well, she got this gadget last night. She got two gadgets. One of them's going to be delivered. The other one we took home with us. How many of you know what OK Google is? You know what that is? You ever see advertise that thing on TV? OK Google. And you ask it a question or you tell it something and it talks back to you and it gives you the answer to the question. It'll tell you how far the earth is from the moon. I've never seen such a thing in my life. That thing is the trick. But it also plays music. I'm telling you, you can tell it a song and who the songwriter is or who sings it, and that thing will start playing that song. You have to tell it to shut up, though. Because it'll play. I mean, it'll keep on going. It'll play another song that songwriter wrote, and you have to say, okay, Google, stop. It'll stop and it'll want to start back again, but you have to say it again. Okay, Google, stop. And then it shuts off. Man, I listened to some good songs this morning before church. Oh, I want to tell you, the first one I listened to this morning was by Ron Canole, an Ancient of Days. Oh, man, I'm telling you. And then we broke down on Janet Paschal's You Got to Be Born Again. Have any of you ever heard? You young people, I'm telling you, you're missing something. You're missing something. You need to go back sometimes and pull up some of those old songs, some of those songwriters, and listen to the lyrics of those words. Janet Paschal said her mother told her, she said, you must be born again. You must be filled with the fire and Holy Ghost. Whew, I'm telling you, sometimes we have to light a fire upon them anymore to get them to move. I like those songs. I'm telling you, I like that little gadget. Man, that thing's going to be used. No more will I have to sit in my studies when my wife is gone and nobody's there but me and the little dog. No more will I sing a cappella. I'm telling you, man, I'm going in and I'm going to say, okay, Google, let's get it. And me and Google, we're going to sing. And we're going to have us a good time in the Lord. Let me tell you something. I'm still full of the Holy Ghost, and I like to praise God. I like to dance around in my kitchen to those wonderful songs and those lyrics of praising God. You see, I haven't forgot those things. I committed it unto God in 1969, and God has kept up his end of the bargain, and I want to keep up my end. Hallelujah. Until the end. I'm telling you, God knows how to keep you young. You have to be careful. I got a 4-year-old grandchild that lives next door to me. And sometimes it ain't good. The phone rings. She don't say granddaddy. She says grandgranny. Can I come over? I think to myself, sometimes I want to say no. because I know what's going to happen. She's going to come in the door, throw her coat off, kick her shoes off, and say, "Granddaddy, sing so I can dance." Well, me and her danced last night till I almost fell in the floor. Whoo, I'm telling you, I can't keep up. And she would say, "Oh, granddaddy, sing again." I said, "Baby, granddaddy is tired. You are always tired," she said. But I want to tell you something I've been doing, so now I can keep up a little bit. Oh, this is part of my sermon. Don't you be looking at me like that. Thinking, where in the world is he going? I'm going to be like Ron and Ben. I'm going to build a little foundation here. See, you didn't know us country bumpkins. We can mimic them guys too, you know. I'm telling you right now. And I found out something too by reading the Word of God. You find out a lot of things when you read the Word of God. You know one thing? I found out one of the prophets was a country bumpkin. Yes, he was. Amos, you read it. He was a sheep herder and a gatherer of the fruits. That's what the Word of God says. But you know what? God spoke to him one day and says, "I want to use you." So don't you ever think any time in your life that God can't use you. Don't you put yourself down if you're a child of God. Don't you think you're too old or unlearned because God can use you. Yes, indeed. All he wants you to do is be obedient and open your mouth and commit yourself to him and watch what he does. Yes, indeed. I'm telling you, I didn't join the gym. Most of you know I was in a wheelchair for a while. My wife liked to kill me. She run me off a ramp one day, and thanks God I didn't come out the chair, but I run over top of her. She was told she couldn't get me down the ramp. She tried anyway. She said, "I can get you down this ramp." I said, "Okay, girl, my life's in your hands." Well, we got halfway down the ramp. I'm not going to go into full detail, but when we ended up out in the yard, I was still upright, and I saw two legs sticking between the wheelchair, and it was her. But that thing took a lot out of me. That wheelchair took a lot of my strength. It took my upper strength. It took my lower extremities. Man, it just took the sap out of me. And you know what? I said, "Man, I've got to do something." I would go in a restaurant and sit down, and I would have to lean on the table to get up. And sometimes I almost turn the table over and just throw everything out in the floor. And finally, I made a decision. I said, "You know something? I've got to do something about this. I can't keep going like this." The doctor told me, "Well, you got to have a knee replacement. Both knees are bad, but you got to have a knee replacement." I said, "Well, I've got news for you. That's going to be the last thing I do." So I had to think to myself, what can I do? I called. No, the doctor wasn't going to help me. So I called the therapist's office, which is down about 9 miles from me. And I told her my situation. She said, "Oh, I can't believe the doctor told you that." I said, "Yes, that's what he told me." She said, "Well, you got two choices." She said, "You can go to your regular doctor and just have him, and he will okay it. Or you can come down here and join our facility like a gym." Now, I'm going to put a plug in for the ARP. How many of you know who ARP is? Some of you ain't old enough yet. ARP is AARP. That's a supplement. Man, come on, you guys, I know, come on now. Dreamer, I know you know ARP. They will pay for it for you. They will pay the price for you to go. It's called a silver sneaker program. Now, you young folks, you ain't got to worry about that yet. It's called a silver sneaker program. You got to be 65 and older, which I've reached that older. I'm almost 7 more days, I'll be over the hump at 70 mark. My wife just reached 79, by the way, 2 days ago. I mean 59. Sorry about that. She reached 59. As the song goes, she was a young thing and could not leave her mother. But I took her anyway. Now you say, where in the world is he going with this? Man, oh man, oh man. Well, I went in and I joined it. I got my little card from AARP. They sent me a card. I can go to any gym in the United States, and it don't cost me anything. I can use the whole facilities. That's good. You need to get into that program. I'm telling you, it'll do wonders for you. So I joined. And I began to go down, and they showed me how to use. They don't work with you. They'll show you how to work all the equipment. You're on your own. So I go in, and I begin to work. Oh, man. The first day, the first week, boy, when I come out, oh, man. And I'd sit down, and I'd lock up. But you know what? My persistence and my commitment to myself and to doing this, it's paying off. Oh, I still got some stiff joints, and the muscles are tightening up every now and then. But you know, the more I go, the looser I get. And I found there was something dancing around last night with my little granddaughter there. Hey, that wasn't so bad. I'm not sore this morning. It's because of the commitment that I made to myself to do this. Now, we're the same way within our walk with God sometimes. We make our commitment to God. When we give our life to Jesus Christ, we make a commitment to Him. But somewhere along the way, we kind of tire out. You know, it's kind of like when you go to the gym. You can turn to Psalms 37 if you want to. That's where I'm going to get a couple of scriptures from this morning. And by the way, this is a sermon for our way of life, if you didn't know that. Let me just go ahead and read those scriptures. It says, commit your ways to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Now, this is what God is saying He's going to do for us. And this is what He will do if we commit ourselves to Him. He says, commit your ways unto God. You got to commit something. You got to put something into it. And when you commit something, you are making a promise here. And this, what this word actually means is to roll it on to God. Put it all on God. And the Word of God says, cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. God is concerned about every area of our lives. And you know what? When we accepted Christ as Savior, and when we said, God, I'm going to serve you the rest of my days. But, you know, we begin to trust God, and we begin to put our trust in Him. But somewhere along the way, something will come up. You know, it's kind of like when we, I remember back years ago, I used to work, I had some stuff there. I used to work out, I worked out religiously 3 and 4 days a week. I would hit the weights and all the Nautilus machines and everything. Now I can make a muscle, and it doesn't sag down here. Well, I'm telling you, I'm proud of myself, man. I go in, and I don't do any heavy weights. And the lady that's in charge, the doctor that's in charge, she said, Mr. Williams, she said, you did it, and you did it by yourself. No, I didn't do it by myself, with the grace of God. But you know something? I find myself getting stronger. What happens is, when I joined at the Y one time, how many of you know, I also bought how many of you know what a Total Gym is? I bought this Total Gym. I tell you I'm laying a foundation now, just bear with me. I bought this Total Gym off TV. Oh, man, I started working there on that thing. I worked there on it for about a month, and I got tired of it. Something would come up, but I didn't. You will do more with something that costs you, that you have to pay for, than you will at home sitting in front of your TV. If it costs you something, then you're going to do it. I bought and paid for this thing, so it sits in the closet. I don't use it anymore. But when I was going to the gym, I was committed to that, and I had to pay for that. The first of the year, how many of you have already made your commitments? How many of you already made your resolutions this year? Anybody? Oh, don't you be so sanctimonious on me this morning. You know you have. Oh, I'm going to lose weight. Yeah, I made a resolution too, twice. I'm working out, and I'm eating all I can get. So you can see that one part. Sure, you make resolutions. You say, you know what? I'm going to lose weight this year. I'm going to do this year. I'm going to do that this year. And that's all well and good. And we do those things, and we say those things, but within 2 weeks, "Oh, I just don't think I can go today. Oh man, I'm so tired. I just don't think I can make it today." And we begin to make excuses why we can't. You know, we would, for most of us that worked out pretty religiously, on New Year's, after New Year's, we would watch people come in. Oh, here they would come tipping in, man, with the brand new sneakers on, and man, they had their nice little workout suits that they done got for Christmas there. Honey done brought them a nice, you know, little sweatpants and shirt and little nice pretty sneakers, and we'd stand back and watch them. They act like they didn't want to get them dirty or something. How many of you know you got to sweat? You know, what's the old saying? No pain, no gain. That's right. We'd watch them, and we'd see. Some of us would get our heads together and say, "Now, I wonder how long this one's going to last." And it would be maybe a week or two. Some of them would walk in with their nice stuff on, you know, boy, and they'd look around, and they'd look at the equipment, and then they'd walk out the door. I don't know who they thought they were fooling. You know what? I sit in that therapist's office, and I watch those people come in. You see, I don't bother them. They don't bother me. I work around them. But I'll watch them come in, and I'll see some of them, and the therapist will give them something to do. And they'll say, "Now, I want you to do 2 sets of 20 of these." I want to tell you something. When you've been sitting down for a while and you haven't done anything for a while, it hurts. When you start moving those joints that you haven't moved before for a long time. And you don't want to do that. And I see those people kind of cheating a little bit. You know, I can count. I can count to 20. So I'll watch them, and I'll see some of them. They might get to 10, and the therapist will look over, "Have you done?" "Oh, yeah, I've done mine." Let me tell you something. You know one thing? You're fooling nobody but yourself, and you're not gaining anything. You're not gaining anything. And it's the same way with our walk with God, our trust in Him. When we say we're going to commit to God and we're going to do these things, you know who loses out when you make excuses? You know what happens in our lives is we can trust everything that we can see, but we can't trust what we can't see. And God says, put your trust in Him. He says, commit your ways unto Him, and He shall bring it to pass, is what He says here in this verse. We got to be committed to the call and wherewith we have been called and not waver in that calling. We make excuses for everything, why we can't do this and why we can't do that. It's just like going back to that gym. You know, we will do good for maybe a couple weeks and we'll get a little loose, and all of a sudden something will come up. Something will take that day away from you, and that's okay if you miss a day once in a while, but don't make a habit of it, because you begin to lose out. Those muscle tones begin to fade away, and that strength begins to fade away. It's the same way with serving God. When we begin to make excuses why we can't come to church, why I can't do this, or why I can't do that, and when we start out good, and all of a sudden we think to say, "You know, I don't like doing this anymore. I think I want to, I just think I'm going to quit." Thank God He didn't quit on us. And the next thing you know, we become weak. And our strength begins to wane. And our faith begins to wane in the Lord. And the next thing you know, we're not as strong as we used to be. Our light is not shining as bright as it used to be. How many of you know you got a flashlight, you got to change your batteries every now and then to get the brightness of it? We have to change course sometimes, don't we? We have to think back. Why do I feel this way? What's going on with me? Am I committed to God like I used to be? We begin to make excuses. We allow people to discourage us. We listen to false things that we shouldn't listen to. And we allow that to come into our hearts and our lives. And we think to ourselves, then what's wrong with me? Is this true? Is this true what that person is saying? And people themselves, we can listen to people who will discourage us and they say, I knew they wouldn't follow through their commitment. You know what? When I first got saved, my cousin said that about me to a group of guys I was witnessing to. Oh, he's tried that before. He won't last a week. That was in 1969. Praise be to God. I'm here today preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I'm not boasting on me, but I'm boasting on my Lord and my Savior. Have I walked a perfect walk? No, I haven't walked a perfect walk. Have I slacked off and have I sometimes laid back and not done what God? Yes, I have, and I'm not proud of it. But you know what? God has kept His commitment to me. He's been more than faithful. More than faithful to me. Oh, my prayer to God every day is, Lord, let my light shine every day of my life till my life is ended. Oh, praise God. You ever seen anybody like that? Even on their deathbed, their light is, that commitment that they had is just as strong then as it was when they first started. Praise God. I'm telling you. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Psalms 55:22 says, cast your burdens on the Lord and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. These are promises of God. If we will do what we have committed to Him, if we will keep that commitment, this is what God will do for us. If we will trust in Him, we just have to trust in Him, don't we? You know, we go back to the gym thing again. We can walk in there and we can look at the equipment. And I sit down and I look at that equipment and I think, this is for a reason. All of this is for a reason. It's to strengthen what the doctors have weakened through surgery. You get a lot of people in there and they begin to work with you and they tell you how to do. Those people went to school for that. They trained on that. They know what to do for you. If you will do what they tell you to do, then you will begin to get better. Let me tell you something. We need the Word of God, don't we? That's where our strength comes. Our strength cometh from the Lord. Hallelujah. Our strength cometh from reading the Word of God and heeding to God's Word and letting the Word of God strengthen us in Him each and every day. And the more we do those things, the more we exercise that strength in God, that reading of that Word and exercising that faith, the stronger our faith becomes. And when the enemy of our soul comes in or someone comes around and they want to talk something that's other than what's in the Scripture, then we know that this is not right. Timothy, Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, guard what God has committed unto you. Guard that what God has committed unto you. Don't listen to that false teaching. Have no dealings with it. Let it go. Keep what God has committed unto you. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon Him. Verse 5 says, commit your ways unto the Lord. Trust on Him and bring it to pass. How many of you are going to trust God more this year, this new year? How many of you have made that New Year's resolution that I'm going to do more for God this year than I did last year? How many of you have made the promise to God, Lord, I'm going to spread your gospel more this year. Lord, I'm going to commit to you. And I'm going to do what you want me to do. Last year, oh buddy, I'm going to tell you, last year was a blur, wasn't it? It went by quick. I don't know about you, but once you get past that a certain age, it looks like birthdays just come quick. And time goes by so quick. And you stop and think to yourself, what did I do? What did I do last year? You know, the Word of God. James. James asked a question. He said, what is life? What is life? He said. He said, life is like a vapor. It's here for a season and it vanishes away. What have you done with your life? What have you done with your life since you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Have you fallen by the wayside with a commitment that you made to God? Or have you stayed true to Him? I would like to think that everybody would say, oh, I've stayed true to God. But I know better. I know better. We're humans. And we have frailties. But our strength should be in God. And God said, if call upon me, commit your ways unto me, He says, and I will bring it to pass. Psalms 37:6 says, and this is what He will do. This is what He says in that sixth verse of Psalms. He says, He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Job 11:17 says, and your life would be brighter than noonday. Though you were dark, yet you would be like the morning. Isaiah 58, 8 and 10, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing should spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. All these things that God is saying that He will do for us if we will commit ourselves unto Him. Just roll it over onto God. Just roll it over onto Him and allow God to work through you. Feel that strength, just like working out. Man, you begin, within a couple weeks, boy, you begin to feel that strength coming back in your body. I told my wife one day, I said, look here, girl. Look here, I got some muscle tone to me again. She said, yeah, you do. I like that. That's encouraging. Commit your ways unto God, and He said, I'll bring it to pass. What are you wrestling with this? What are you wrestling with in your life? Think about that. What's going on? I don't know your hearts. I don't know. I don't live with you. Just like a doctor told me one time. He said, Mr. Williams, you taking both of those pills? I said, well, I don't live with you. I don't know whether you've taken them or not. He said, you got to do what I tell you to do. I said, yes, sir. I went home and started doing what He told me to do. That's the way we are with the Lord. God speaks something in our heart. We need to do it, don't we? You know, our lesson this morning, our Sunday school lesson was on Jonah this morning. God told Jonah to do something. Jonah went the other way. That's the way we are sometimes. When we God will tell us to do something, we want to go the opposite direction with it. Instead of committing to God and saying, okay, God, I'll do what you want me to do. And letting God strengthen us. We need all the strength we can get. Believe me, we do. Times are coming. Times are coming. How many of you fret over those things? How many of you fret over what's coming? The Word of God tells us not to fret over those things, doesn't it? I just read it to you. He said, commit your ways unto Him. And He'll bring it to pass. Let God move in and through your hearts and your lives. Put your confidence and your trust in Him. You see, let me tell you something. The Word of God says we can go boldly into the throne room of grace. It's just like going into that gym, man. We can go in there and we can work out and we can get strong. But you know one thing? The Word of God says we can come boldly to Him and find mercy and grace in our time of need and trouble. But a lot of times we don't do that because we allow something else to take the place of that. Or we'll lean to our own understandings and we'll go the opposite direction away from God. Or we'll rely on our own resources instead of God's grace and His mercy and His knowledge. We'll allow those things to take the place. If you don't watch out, we'll let our social media be the answer to our problems. That's sad to say, but that happens a lot. That happens a lot. We'll go to Facebook and we'll go to Google and we'll go to all these things and before we go to God. That shouldn't be. Let me tell you something. I grew up in a church, I'm in a home, and I grew up in this church. And we were taught to serve God and to trust God first. Seek God. I had a mother and father. They didn't have much. They worked both. My mother worked in a garment factory, and my dad worked in a foundry. Wasn't much surplus. and we ate what they put on the table. But I can tell you one thing, my mom and dad loved God. And they put their trust in Him. They exercised their faith every day. They put clothes on our back and they fed us. It wasn't the best. We didn't wear the name brand stuff or anything like that. But you know one thing? We had love. And we grew up in a church knowing that God loved us. And I saw my mom and dad struggle in life. And the worst thing I ever seen in their life was they lost two children. But they never gave up on God. That didn't deter them one bit. They still glorified God and gave God praise. And I learned from those things. I learned how to trust God and go to God. If we got sick, the first thing they did, they went to their knees and they began to pray and to seek God. Let me tell you something. Times are coming. You better go to your knees and you better seek God. You better start exercising some faith in God and start exercising those knee muscles and getting down on them and beginning to talk to God instead of talking to your neighbor or someone else or getting on Facebook. You know, it never amazes me. My kids, my grandchildren, not my children, but my grandchildren. Now, I got one daughter. I got one daughter. She's in the Facebook era. So. Well, how did you know? Well, duh, you put it on Facebook where everybody could see it. That's how I knew it. It ceases to amaze me. It never ceases to amaze me. You go on Facebook and you can hear, they air all their problems. And they wonder how did you know it? That they don't tell anybody. And the next thing you know, you see it on Facebook. Or don't tell nobody. You know what? Tell God. Go to God. Watch what happens. You'll be amazed at what happens when you commit it to Him and you begin to seek God fervently. I'm telling you, people say, man, I see people pray sometimes, man. I'm telling you, they get all beside themselves. I'll tell you what, it was a man in a cab one time. His sister, he got a call. He got a call that his sister was dying. She was in a hospital. He didn't drive. He lived in the city, and he called the cab, and he told the guy, he says, man, you got to get me to the hospital as quick as you can. And that guy got on his knees in the back seat of that cab, and he began to call on God. He got beside himself, and the cab driver turned around. He said, man, I've never heard a man pray that desperate. He said, you've never seen a desperate man either. Let me tell you something. We need to pray like we're desperate. We got loved ones that are lost. And the Word of God teaches me that if we will commit them unto God's hand, He will save their souls. If we will raise them up in the admonition of God, that when they get old, they won't depart from it. Praise God. Those commitments that we made years ago when we first gave our life to Jesus Christ, are you holding on to those commitments today? Are you loving Him? Are you still trusting God? You say you want to see people heal? You want to see this one heal? Start believing God. Start exercising that faith that God has given us. He said all you got to have is a little grain, a mustard seed of faith. He said if thou canst believe that all things are possible. That's what His Word says. He says pray and seek God. Ask God, and He said, I'll do it. He said, you have not because you ask not. You don't go to God in prayer. Somebody's sick, you don't go to God in prayer, and you want them to be healed. Let me tell you something. They're not going to get healed with you just thinking about it. You have to take some action. You have to get down on your knees and begin to pray God and lift them up to God. You have to be like the missionary. I can't think of the boy's name now. Names leave me. That comes with age, don't it? David Grant. How many of you have heard of David Grant? Missionary to India? Egypt. Yeah, one of those countries. I remember David Grant told us one time, he was at this church. Y'all didn't know we had people like that come to our church? Oh, we've had some big time people in here. Ooh, we had a man in one time, he was a hitman for the mafia at one time. God got a hold to him. You said, well, we don't want him in here. Hey, I do. God got a hold to him and changed his life. That man had a message. But David Grant come in, he says, you know what? He said, I'm leaving. I'm going on a mission field. He said, my dad was a minister. He said, my dad can't do anything. He said, well, they're getting loud over it. He said, here we are. He says, up in the airport. He said, and my dad said, son, I want to pray for you for you go. He said, oh, I thought to myself, uh-oh. This ain't going to be good. He said, all of a sudden, my dad hollered out, God! He said, everybody in the place stopped. The teller stopped telling. The baggage board stopped bagging. Everybody looked, he said. He said, my dad covered everybody in the plane, covered the plane in the blood, and everybody, the pallet, and everybody on it, he said. He said, and I got on the plane. I thought to myself, old man. He said, I sat down beside a businessman. I want to tell you something, people. Never be ashamed of the gospel. Never be ashamed. Let me tell you something. Those old saints knew how to touch God. He said, I sat down beside this businessman. He said, and we began to talk, and that businessman said, was that your dad? He said, yeah. He said, I want to tell you something. Been a long time since I heard somebody pray like that. My dad used to pray over me like that. He said, I've run from God. I've been running from God for years. David Grant said before he got off that plane, that man had dedicated his life to Jesus Christ. Oh, praise God. Don't you ever think for 1 minute God can't move by his Spirit. I'm telling you, this is what the church needs more of today. I see things. I'm going to tell you, I'm like David now. I was young, but I'm old now. I'm getting there. But I've seen things in my walk with God. I've seen things before I walked with God that drawed me unto him. Those people that were committed to God, they kept that commitment. They didn't waver not one bit. They didn't make excuses. And I know some of you sitting here this morning, oh, you're bringing up your past. Yes, I'm bringing up your past because we need to bring that past up. God said sometimes we need to look back. We need to remember what those old saints went through and what they did. Some of the old hymns, read those lyrics sometimes because they wrote about the things that they went through, how God brought them through. They didn't waver in their faith not one bit. But they kept their trust and their confidence, their strength in God. They were strong in the Lord. Oh, I like what the book of Joshua, where Caleb said, I'm 85 years old. He said, Joshua, give me my land. Give me my portion. Joshua said, you got to run. He said, I'm just as strong today at 85 as I was when I was 40 years old. Give me that. How many of you can say the same thing today? Don't raise your hand. But how many of you can say that same thing today? That commitment that you made unto God. How many of you have grown weary in well-doing? How many of you have made commitments to teach a Sunday school class or preach a word of God? Or start a little group in church, and you've done that for a number of years, and maybe you haven't seen much progress, and you begin to think to yourself, oh, what's the use? I think I'm getting tired. Oh, let me tell you something. Keep going, because you're going to start feeling that strength come back in. You're going to start seeing the hand of God move. He said, I'm going to bring it to pass. You see, it's not in your time and it's not in your way. It's in God's way. And the more you work at it and the more you do it, he said, if you're going to reap a harvest, if you faint not. You see, that's God's word. And God's word is yea and amen. It's faithful and true. And I believe it. I believe what God says, every word of it. I don't believe just part, I believe it all. If God said these signs shall follow them that believe, I believe these signs are going to follow them that believe. But we need somebody that's willing to step up to the plate and say, hey, I'll pray for them. Oh, where's the anointing? Oh, let me go anoint them and pray for them. If God speaks to your heart and says, I want you to go get the anointing oil and I want you to pray for him because I'm going to heal that person, you do it. You talking about strong? That's exercise in your faith. That's exercising in the things of God, not the physical exercise, but that's exercising in the things of God. And you will grow strong if you faint not. That's what His Word says. I like what Paul told Timothy there in his last days. He told Timothy, he said, Timothy, I'm getting ready to die. Oh, Nero was going to kill him. He said, I'm getting ready to die, Timothy. He said, but you know something? It doesn't bother me. He said, all down through the years, he reminisced a little bit. He said, it's one thing I kept, son. All through those years, I kept the faith. I'm telling you, when an old saint dies that's been holding on to the hand of Jesus, let me tell you one thing, they die, but they die in peace. Oh, we had an old sister in this church, Sister Lottie Hurt. That woman could keep a nursery by herself, 10 and 15 kids, and you'd never hear a peep out of them. That was her ministry. And she was good to them, and those children loved her. But that woman, when she got sick and God was calling her home, I remember the pastor would go see her, and he would lean over, and he would begin to whisper a word, a scripture to her. He said, I would start the scripture. He said, and she would finish it. She would lay there. She'd just lay there, not knowing anybody was in the room. But soon as he would start the scripture, she would quote it back to him. Oh, man, I'm telling you. I've seen them die peaceful as they could go, knowing Jesus Christ. They had lived their life. Paul said, I've kept the faith. He said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He said, what the righteous judge. We're not judged by man when we stand before God. We're judged by the righteous judge. And if we stay true to that commitment that we've had, that we committed to God, we're going to receive the crown also, just like Paul did. Praise God. I had an uncle who died one time. He died speaking in tongues. He told my daddy, he said, is somebody in here bigger with me bigger than anybody in this whole hospital, he said. And he began to speak in tongues, and his feet were just, it was like a jackhammer. Oh, I'm telling you, he was going out talking to the Lord. You see, the Word of God says when we speak in an unknown tongue, we don't speak to man, but we speak directly. Our soul is speaking directly to God. I had another uncle, he went to bed one night, his wife laid down and went to bed. When she woke up the next morning, he was still on his knees. He was gone, but he died talking to the Lord. You see, he hadn't given up. His faith hadn't wavered a bit. He knew whom he had committed his life to. Praise God. I had another brother that used to be in this church. I went to see him, and he was laying there in the bed, and he had his hands up behind his head. I said, Brother Adams, how you doing? He said, Brother, my bags are packed, and I'm ready to go. I don't know what he's waiting on. The next day, my brother was gone on to be with Jesus. I had a phone call not too long ago from a friend of mine. He said, Fred, I got to tell you something. I work with him. He said, I want to call you and tell you something. I said, what is it? He said, man, I'm eat up with cancer. He said, I've got stage 4 brain cancer. I've got cancer in my lungs. He said, I've got stomach cancer. And he had some other things wrong with him. He says, 3.5 years ago, he says, you know me, I ran from church to church. And he said, I ran from this place and from that place. He said, trying to find what I was looking for. He said, 3.5 years, I walked into a church and he said, I found Jesus. He said, and now he's calling me home. He said, and I've committed it to his hands. Not a bit of doubt, not a bit of fear. You know what? I went to call him one day, and I found out that he had gone on to be with Jesus. And I saw one of his family members, and he said, Fred, I went in to see him, and he was just as happy as he could be. He passed on. He went on to be with the Lord. Let me tell you something. Stay true to what God has given you to do. And he'll bring it to pass. He's going to make your righteousness shine as a noonday sun. Hallelujah. You ever thought about that? How bright the sun is about noon? God says, I'm going to make your righteousness shine like that. I've got your back. Hallelujah. I love it when God tells me that he's got my back. You know, I struggle sometimes with these sermons, you know. I'm not like these educated guys. You take Ben and Ron, man, them guys got them big degrees and stuff. My brother back here, yes, indeed. I don't have that education, but I'm educated in the things of God. I went to the Holy Ghost school. I'm telling you, I had to learn the hard way. Yes, indeed. But you know one thing, I wouldn't take nothing. I like what the lady that sung a song, I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. I got to get to heaven and I got to get there now. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the only way I know I'm going to get there is being committed to God and putting my trust and my confidence in him and in him alone. Praise God. Whenever I preach, I said, Lord, you got to help me. Oh, my goodness, God. What am I going to preach on? And God will speak a word to me. I like the way God does things. You know, to simple things, just the simple things, you know. Sometimes it'll come, God will give me a scripture. Sometimes he'll show me something. And I'll study that, what he shows me. And I seek his face, and God says, don't worry, I got your back. I got your back. And I thank him for that today. Praise God. I wish my mama could see me. Oh, man, I'm telling you. My daddy, he always told me I was hard-headed and had to learn the hard way. Praise God. I thank God for those old saints. I thank God for my church. I thank God for my heritage. Hallelujah. It's just like Naboth's vineyard. They try to steal his heritage, and it cost them. Praise God. Don't let anybody steal your heritage. Never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What you've committed to God, you stand true to that commitment and watch how God works in and through your life. Praise God. Now that's all I have for you this morning, but we're going to take communion today. And you know the Word of God teaches us for us not to take communion unworthily. You see, I don't know what your life is. Maybe you've been struggling. Maybe you're like the gym scene that I portrayed this morning. Maybe you've been in and you've tried God a little bit. Maybe I know a young man. He gave his life to Christ. He was going to another church and the pastor made comment, and I was a little shocked at the comment that the pastor made, that he'd never seen a man come to the altar so much to ask God to save him and forgive him. It makes no difference how many times you come. But maybe you started out good and you had good intentions and you made commitments to God, but these intentions kind of, the problems of life or situations may arose and you've had a struggle and you just couldn't seem to make that breakthrough. Maybe you're here today and you've never made a commitment to God. And you've thought all down through the years, especially a new year, I want to change. I want to get away from my old life. I want to do something new this year. I want a new way, a new walk. But I want to tell you something. There is a new way. But you have to commit it to God. God can change the old and make it new. All you have to do is come to him. Just like my sister's plan, just as I am. You see, God wants us just like we are. Don't try to be somebody that you're not. Be who you are and come to God. Pour out your heart on him. He says, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. You see, God laid his life down, a ransom. Today we're going to partake. He says, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. The price that he paid for you and I, he laid his life. He was committed to it, and he stayed true to that commitment all the way to the cross. that we may have life and have it everlasting, that we may have a new way of life, that we may have a hope that one day when death comes to us, we'll have a hope. We won't be like those that don't have a hope. The Word of God said we won't mourn like those that have no hope. I don't know what your life is this morning, but I'm going to tell you something. I want us all to come up and gather around the altar this morning. I want two men, Harvey, will you and Brother Lawhorn, I want you to come up and get this ready this morning. What I want you to do is I want you to come up around the altars this morning, kind of spread out around these altars this morning. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'd like to pray with you and introduce you to Him. And maybe you haven't, your commitment that you made to God several years ago is kind of fallen by the wayside. And you said, I need to recommit myself to Christ. I want to pray for you this morning. There's Brother Ron and different ones of us in here that preach, and we will pray with you. Be glad to pray with you. Now, our communion is open communion. I was in a church. I went to a funeral one time, and they had communion. It was in a Roman Catholic church. And I'm not picking on you, any Catholics this day. But they had communion, and I thought to myself, oh, this is good. I'll take communion. But then the priest got up and said, if you're not practicing Roman Catholic, you can't take communion. Now, I don't find that in the Word of God. What I find is, if I don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, I'm not supposed to take communion. But you know what? It only takes you in faith believing and just a few words. You giving your life to Christ, and you can be worthy to take of this communion this morning. Won't you come down? If you need a prayer, catch me or catch Ron or catch my brother back here. Different ones in the church, the prayer warriors that we have here this morning. We would love to pray with you and introduce you to Jesus Christ today. Come on. Come on down. Come on. You see, I noticed something in the church. Down through the years, I've noticed something in the church. We've gotten away from gathering around the altars. How many of you know we need to gather around these altars and we need to seek God? Oh, I'm telling you, I can remember in times past how people would gather around the altars and they would pour their hearts out to God for their lost loved ones or someone that was sick or something that was going on in their lives, and they would commit it to God and God would touch their hearts and their lives. We need more time at the altar, don't we? Not just in the altar of the church, but we need more time at the altars in our homes as well. We've gotten out of the practice of praying and seeking God's face. We're starting to grow weak and weary. We need to get back into God's gym and allow Him to strengthen us. Give Him strength. Give us strength. Because that's where our strength comes from. It's from the Lord. Hallelujah. Maybe you've gotten a little weak in your Bible reading. Maybe you don't read as much as you used to. You don't study the Word of God. You don't have that prayer time like you used to. And you think to yourself, man, I need to get back to doing this. You know you need to get back, but do you get back? And the less you do of it, the weaker you become. The less knowledge you have of God, the more you're going to listen to things that are not true. God wants to touch your heart today. You want to start a new year off right this year? You know, you can say you're going to lose weight, you're going to work out, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. But you know one thing? Make a commitment to God this new year. Oh, what a fitting time. New Year's Day. Starting that brand new today. Praise God. You just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to commit this year unto You, Father. Lord, I'm going to do the things that You want me to do. And Lord, I want You to use me. I want to be used of You, God. I like what this song she's playing said, just as I am without one plea, but that Your blood was shed for me. Praise God. God shed His blood for you and me. You see, he didn't condemn us. His word says he didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to save the world from their sins. Thank God. Thank God for the price that he paid for us. Hallelujah. Oh, how much more should we give God the glory and the praise? Everybody been served? Praise God. Anybody that didn't get served wants to be served. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ooh, when you look at this little wafer, I want you to look at that little wafer. A little symbol of what God went through, what Jesus Christ went through for you and me. You think about that price that he paid for you and me, how he was broken and bruised, how his body was beaten. Oh, he was beyond recognition, battered and bruised so much. But he done it for you and me. He done it for you and me. How can we say sometime, God, I'm so tired, I just don't want to do that. Lord, let somebody else do it. Remember the commitment that you made to him. Say, God, renew that commitment in me. Renew it in me. Father, we thank you today for this little symbol, Father, that represents so much, God. Your body that was broken and bruised for us, God. The stripes that were laid upon your back were for our healings, Lord. God, the healing of our soul as well, Father. And Lord, we just lift it up to you today, God, and we ask, Father, that you would bless it, Father. Lord, that you'd bless this little wafer as we partake together in Jesus' name. Let us partake. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My Lord. Whew. Thank you, Lamb of God. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Father. My Lord and my God, I give you praise. I thank you, Jesus, for the price that you paid for me, Lord, that I may have life. Oh, Jesus, I can't praise your name enough and thank you enough, Lord. Oh. My Lord and my God, my Redeemer, the lover of my soul. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, as we lift this little cup of grape juice up on this morning, Father, that represents your blood that was spilt on Calvary. Father, for the remission of sins, that we may be cleansed and set free, Father, from the tyranny of sin. Lord, we're so thankful today, God, for your blood that flowed from Calvary, Lord. It wasn't ours, but it was yours. And your word teaches us that we wasn't purchased with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son. Lord, help us to remember today, Lord, the price that you paid for us, God. Such a horrible price, God, a price that we could not pay, Lord. Father, you said, I will take the sins. I will take the stripes in place of them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, as we partake together today, Lord, let us remember that price, Lord, that you paid for us, God, and never forget it, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Let us partake. Praise God. Why don't you just give him a little praise today? Why don't you just thank him? He's brought you through another year. He's brought you through another year. And I don't know what God's brought you through this year. I don't know the problems that you've had, but God has brought you through. You need to give him a little praise and thank him for his love and his mercy and his goodness and his grace. When I tell you these things about what I do at home, I don't boast on me. I boast on the Lord. Some mornings I get up and I'm tired and I'm weary. And I know you are too because you go to work. But you know one thing? I remind myself of what God did for me. And I give him praise and glory. And you know what? When I begin to praise God, when I begin to sing those old songs of Zion, hallelujah, I feel that strength coming back. And I feel these arms going up. Hallelujah. And I begin to give him praise. And the next thing you know, I feel like somebody again. Hallelujah. I feel that strength welling up within me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Whew. I can get hooked on that. I'm telling you I can. My Lord and my God. And I put the music on. Oh man, I'm telling you. I danced around my kitchen this morning to those old songs. I had me a good time in the Lord. Oh, praise God. Try it sometimes. You'll like it. I used to tell my children, they would say, well, I don't like it. I said, don't tell me you don't like it till you try it. You try it. If you don't like it, spit it out. I said, but you don't know what you like till you try. Hallelujah. I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Oh, praise God. It's been rough. It's been steep. And it's been good at times. But you know what? I'm still standing. Hallelujah. Praise be to God, I'm still standing. I might not be standing tomorrow, but I'm standing today. And when I'm not standing anymore, I'm in the presence of my Lord and my Savior. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I want to stand before him one day and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Oh, what a day that will be. You remember the old song we used to sing? What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, who saved me by his grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Oh, I'm telling you, go in the Lord and enjoy your day. Give God some glory and praise. Make it a New Year's resolution to save a soul this year. Hallelujah. Ask God to use you. Put me out there, Lord, where I can be used of God. You see, all you have to do is open your mouth. God said, I'll fill it. That's what his word says. Yes, indeed. Get in the Word of God this year. Make it a New Year's resolution to get into the Word of God and talk more to the things of God. And I know what some of you are saying. Quit talking and let us go. Praise God. God bless you. Yes, indeed. Anybody needs prayer, you stay up here. I want to pray with you. Yes, indeed. God bless you.